Hi everyone, my name is Tyler Oakley, and you are listening to Psychobabble, an unfiltered half hour of gossip sessions, pop culture scrutiny, and stories we've never told in videos. It's not just crazy talk, it's Psychobabble. In today's episode, we discuss all the things we never had when we were kids, what inside jokes we'd commemorate with Christmas ornaments, we praise and drag the Met Gala's campiest outfits, and we recap episode 4 of Amazing Race in Vietnam. Stick around, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, follow on Spotify, and live tweet as you listen with hashtag Psychobabble. Hi, Corey.
Hi, Ty.
What is up?
Hi, Ty, my Ty, Ty, my Ty.
I'm Mamrie Hart. I was with Hannah Hart today.
Oh, you did? What did you do?
Oh, you did?
Oh, you did? What did you do?
We recorded an episode of her podcast.
Oh, really?
It was enthralling. It was exciting. We talked about turning 30. The theme was about your expectations with 30, your relationship with 30, what it felt, what it means, blah, 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 blah. It was interesting. You know, it was deep.
And what? Is it deep? Did you go there? Should we spoil her podcast and talk about it on our own?
Yeah, I went there and there's no reason to go listen. So that's that. Thank you. I'm kidding. You can listen. It's anywhere podcasts are played, I guess, you know.
Anywhere podcasts are played. I think our podcast is now on Pandora.
Oh, thank God.
I think
people have been clamoring for Psychobabble.
I think those
Pandora.
What do we call our Pandora listeners?
Our
panda babies.
Our Pandorable
ghosties. Pandorable ghosties.
Hey, Pandorable ghosties. It's your boy.
I could be wrong. I vaguely remember reading an email.
Well,
I think
if you're listening on Pandora, you say hey. Just let us know.
you tell us.
Corey, what's up? What's new this week? What did you do this weekend?
Well, I'm wearing my Maggie Rogers shirt, as you can see. Oh,
I love it. Did you get that at Coachella or did you get it separately?
Oh no, I bought it online afterward. I didn't go to a merch stand at Coachella.
They sell a lot of merch, but never once has it crossed my mind to go buy something at Coachella, or like at a concert or anywhere, you know?
I mean, I definitely, if it's someone I really like, I'm going to stop at the merch booth to support, you know?
I know, but like at a festival, I don't want to walk around with it.
Oh, heavens no.
Heavens no.
I mean, that was like Kanye was selling his fucking Sunday Service merch at Coachella weekend too for like $800 for a hoodie. And I thought, no. In what world?
I guess some people think, oh, this is like a collectible. This is a moment.
Bitch,
this is like a.
I can iron on those letters onto like a white hoodie for you, and I will charge you $100. Should I undercut them?
That sounds like a District Lines exclusive.
Do you think Kanye still needs money from Mark Zuckerberg?
What happened there? I don't remember the drama.
Years ago, wasn't he tweeting, hey, he was tweeting at Mark Zuckerberg about how he wanted a meeting because he had big ideas.
Okay, did anything go down? Those were much simpler times. If that was like the big highlight of the day compared to like Russians hacking an election, blah, 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 blah.
It's weird.
We were spoiled.
I had a little note here on our things to talk about list that I was going to say, hey, everybody, if you're not registered to vote, friendly reminder to do it early.
I mean, why not? Yeah, it's kind of like an evergreen reminder. If you've recently turned 18, I think they should automatically register to vote. If you automatically put me in the draft, you should automatically register me to vote. And that's
That's what Michigan switched to after the last election. And now the Republicans in Michigan are all up in arms about it they know that this isn't good for their gerrymandering and or their voter suppression.
Yeah, I love that all the states are cracking down on voter suppression. I think that's the way to go. Because
say crack one more time.
Crack?
Yes.
You're welcome. What's your favorite kind of crack?
Oh, crack. Step on a crack, step on a crack, make your mother's bed. That's what they say.
Okay. She's here.
What's my favorite kind of crack?
Yeah, like snap, crackle, pop. What's cracking? What's cracking?
God.
It's something you could say. Cracking a knuckle, cracking an ankle.
Cracker Jacks.
Cracker Jacks.
I think I do like Cracker Jacks.
Whip crack.
I don't fucking love when they're all, check out the toy in the Cracker Jack, and it's like a fucking sticker. Like, grow up.
That's not a toy.
That's not, a sticker is not a toy. A sticker is vandalism, is what it is.
Oh, Jesus. Have you, did you see the guy that got arrested, or I don't know what it was, in Florida because of his, I eat ass bumper sticker?
No, that sounds not okay. Freedom of speech.
I know. Freedom of speech, freedom of expression, cracking down on ass eating.
He got arrested? Is this real? Are you telling the truth?
Yeah.
Did you check this out on Snopes?
It was a Florida man story, you know?
That sounds made up.
Florida man feels discriminated against.
Here we go. 6 hours ago, Florida man arrested after refusing to remove I eat ass bumper sticker.
I want to know who he is. I want to know his story. Where's the Netflix
about him? I want to know his technique.
Is he all tongue? Is he a little teeth? What's he doing? Is he spitting, sniffing, scorching?
Go off.
Shut up.
I actually only said go off because I accidentally muted you and I had no idea what you actually said, and I thought,
well, you saved yourself because I was talking about him putting his snaggle tooth up somebody's hole.
Oh, I can't wait to go back and listen when the episode comes out to find out what you actually said at that moment.
I thought, lost my retainer in somebody's butt.
Bitch, that wasn't a retainer. It was Invisalign.
That was my braces rubber band.
Ugh, I hated braces, rubber bands.
I don't remember ever having rubber bands. I had braces, but I don't remember rubber bands.
Well, I don't think everyone who has braces has rubber bands. It's not like if and. It's not and then. What, yes and? Like, my friend had braces and she had headgear, but like no one else at my school had headgear.
Nobody had headgear.
That was a
TV
girl
thing.
No. She had headgear, I swear on everything. It was my best friend. I'm not going to name names. You know her. You've met her. And the year she finally got her headgear, where she didn't have to wear the headgear portion anymore, her mom took the headgear and hung it on the Christmas tree as an ornament that year to embarrass her.
No.
Yeah. Oh, you sound like you couldn't care less.
No, I was actually traumatized for her. No.
It's a true story.
She didn't do that.
She did. Her Christmas tree topper was a fucking headgear.
Did someone say topper?
You
topper?
Did.
I barely know her. Thank you.
Speaking of toppers, where are you going? Where are you going with this?
No. I was not done. You know, I had a boyfriend back in the day who, I loved their family tradition for Christmas trees. They would always do, like ornaments that would be like joke ornaments that they would give each other at Christmas to commemorate a dumb thing that they would, that somebody in the family did that year.
A joke ornament?
It's but like not joke per se, but like just like
okay,
a something that's an inside joke.
Perfect. So I'm going to go through and name all of our joke ornaments between you and I for the last 12 years based off of all of our friendship.
Who can remember that far? Who remembers anything?
For year one, I'm getting you white denim.
Not white denim. White
tarp,
gap.
Baby white gap. Tarp. Pants in the form of an ornament.
Sure. What about a boot filled with pee?
That's right around the same time, but yes, you can have it.
What about a headless dolphin?
Yes. I would get you a little honey and a little boo ornament because you love them.
Oh, yeah.
A little Miss Teen shoot ornament.
A Mario Kart ornament. Maybe, what else? I'm trying to remember.
Well, Oprah feel off the wagon ornament.
A wagon, and it can duct tape Oprah to it, an Oprah one.
A chicken nugget.
Sure, obviously, of course.
Like a lavender wig ornament.
Okay.
You know.
What about a hand that's just
in the shape of a fist?
No, a hand that's been painted brown in certain spots.
From when you wiped your butt with your hand?
No, something about
Mary?
No, you don't want me to you know about that?
Are you embarrassing me or are you embarrassing yourself?
I'm embarrassing you, but it's not even embarrassing you, but embarrassing somebody through you. You know about that?
Through the transitive property of life.
If I fart in your mouth and you fart, no.
Anyway, so, and then this year you get me another Christmas Alone ornament.
No. What would I get you this year?
No.
I'm trying to think.
Baby, we're only 5 months in.
No, you know what you could get me this year?
I'm still very curious about this hand.
You know what I'm talking about.
What year is it from?
When we lived in San Francisco.
Oh, I know what that is. But that's not for me.
That's why I said it wasn't really for you. It's for you adjacent. No, you know what you could get me this year is something.
Something to fix your dead tooth?
No, something from your birthday.
Yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you want from my birthday. Wow, our trees are going to be so pretty.
I think, yeah, we had a really nice tree when we lived together in San Francisco.
That was all my tree. That was all my ornaments.
You really junked it up, though.
No, bitch. Occasionally, you would get some sort of fucking pickle ornament in your P.O. box video.
Yeah, that's why I shut down the P.O. box.
And you would get a fucking, and you would be all, come downstairs, can I put this pickle ornament on your tree? And I thought, fuck you, no. This does not go with my peppermint themed.
Yeah, your tree is very it's wanting to be chic. It's not very like homemade things.
Nobody wants homemade garbage on a tree.
Well, I think when you become a parent, everyone's like wanting to do those things.
Well, my mom taught me at a very young age that when the kids go to bed, you move the handmade ornaments to the back of the tree where no one can see them.
No! Danette!
Did my mom deprive me of a childhood?
The verdict's out.
Listen, kids, tell me if your parents were like mine and they would move our shitty little paper ornaments that we made in first grade to the back of the tree when no one was looking. I couldn't have been the only one who was bullied by my parents.
I think I was. I don't quite remember. I blocked a lot of it out.
Yeah, right. You're probably like, we didn't even get a tree.
We didn't even get a tree. We didn't have trees.
All we got was Christmas manicotti.
Now, before we talk about anything else, we gotta give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is Quip. It is time for some spring cleaning, and Quip has an easy way to start with your brushing habits. Just 2 minutes twice a day can help pave the way to a healthier mouth and mind. And now the whole family can get refreshed with Quip. The new Kids Quip has the same 2-minute timer and guiding pulses as the original version with no childish gimmicks, so they can brush just like a grown-up. So the new Kids Brush is the same as the original version, just tweaked for sized down mouths. It's an easy way for kids to be inspired to brush better and more often with oral care that looks and feels like the products the adults in their life use, and they're proud to use Quip. It can help develop a grown-up routine without the childish gimmicks. If you don't know much about Quip, what I love most about them is that the toothbrushes have a built-in 2-minute timer that pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides and help you clean your whole mouth evenly. Because apparently, 90% of us don't brush for a full 2 minutes or don't clean evenly. So you fix that, easy, good to go, your mouth is fresh. Plus, the brush heads for the Quip toothbrush are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. It's a friendly reminder for when it's time to refresh and to stay committed to your oral health. And that's why I love Quip, but you don't have to trust me. There's over 100 million happy, healthy mouths that do too. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/psycho, you can get your first refill pack for free. Again, that's your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/psycho. Thank you, Quip, for sponsoring this episode. We love you here at the podcast. Now back to the gossip. Now, before we talk about anything else, we got to give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, which is Apartments.com. Apartments.com has more rental listings than anywhere else, so finding the perfect place is easier than ever, and so is finally moving in together. Just the two of you. It's a big step. Lots of new responsibilities, lots of adjustments. Most likely, they'll wake you up at odd hours to go to the bathroom, and you'll most definitely find yourself in trouble coming home late for dinner, and They might even unroll all your toilet paper next time. It's just what happens when you two find a new place together. But you're not doing it because you feel like it. No, you're doing it because you love them. Because they're family. And that's why Apartments.com has more pet-friendly rental listings on the internet, so that you and your furry family can find the perfect new place together. Apartments.com, the place to find a pet-friendly place. Thank you so much, Apartments.com, for sponsoring this week's episode of the podcast. We love you here at Psychobabble. Now back to the gossip. Let me tell you, I think Anthony grew up rich because I am always like, you grow up with food? You well, had...
Bitch, that's also what comes... I know I'm going to make a blanket statement, and this isn't necessarily true across the all boards, but I was going to say, this is what happens when your parents, when you have two parents that are married and they have two incomes.
Oh, I see. listen, I'm not saying my parents were terrible. I'm not saying my parents were terrible, but I am saying you guys had food. Y'all had light bulbs.
You guys had towels that didn't smell like mold.
We...
That's me dragging you.
Yeah, I know. I just have such vague memories of, like... vivid memories of having to, like, every penny. Like, we did not use our air conditioning. Period. We did not use the
heat. Nice that you...
Period.
How nice that you had air conditioning.
Right.
Rich.
Well, yeah. We did not use the... we had a dishwasher, but we did not use the dishwasher.
Oh, bitch, I remember when we got our dishwasher. It was one of the best days of my life. But it wasn't until I was in high school, and I thought, oh, living in the lap of luxury now.
Well, our family, because we had so many kids, we had a system for the dishes. So, like, I would always put away. Somebody else would always dry. Somebody else would always rinse. Somebody else would always take... because, like, all the kids...
Well, we get it. You were very happy. We get it. You were very happy working song from Enchanted. You were the rat. Your sister was the pigeon. Mm-hmm. Your brother was the cockroach.
Not the ravenous, travenous cockroach. Did you have chores?
Oh, bitch, yeah. And you know what we got for doing our chores?
Nothing.
Not grounded.
Yeah, thank you.
Imagine an allowance.
I can't even. Kids these days, nowadays, allowancing, what are they buying? Well, I didn't have anything to buy, though I did save up my money. I saved it up for the Scholastic Fair, the yo-yo kiosk in the mall. That was about it. The Pokemon cards, but I befriended somebody whose dad would always give me a pack of Pokemon cards whenever I came over. And I thought, well, I'm going to have to invest in this friendship then.
That's a nice dad.
Well, yeah.
What'd you have to do for him?
Just kind of smile with my snaggle tooth and my rubber bands. Kind of give him a little smile.
Did you have colored rubber bands in your braces?
I didn't have rubber bands, Corey.
Did you have a cast ever?
No, and I was very on the brink of breaking anything just for the attention. I wanted a cast. When I saw other people
doing that... You're like, who has insurance? That, rich!
My parents said, if you break a bone, you buy the bone. Okay?
The closest I ever had to a cast...
was Jack and the Beanstalk 2002?
What does that even mean?
When I was in Jack and the Beanstalk in 2002, I was a statue.
And the statue had
a cast?
And
I was there.
No, oh, the statue got cast?
I was there with the rest of the cast.
Yeah. Well.
Can you believe for the 2002 production of Jack and the Beanstalk, I had to provide my own gray sweatpants and gray sweatshirt?
Bitch, yeah. We had to supply all of our costumes for every play I did in high school and middle school. My mom had to make, when all three of us got cast in Alice in Wonderland,
she was working overtime.
She had to make Jason into the Seven of Diamonds or whatever the fuck he was. Jordy was a toucan and I was a dandelion and I had to wear green denim.
Not green denim.
I loved that dandelion costume. My mom, such a whiz in the craft room.
Well, was she working on things with grommets?
No, she just, I think lucky enough for me, I already owned a pair of green denim because that was what was in fashion when I was in third grade.
I recently looked at a picture of what I was wearing in elementary school, and lo and behold, I think I've gone through phases of thinking it was terrible, and now I'm back to thinking, ooh, that's cute.
So you're going
fashion
back
really
into
does
your,
work.
You're going back into your garish phase.
No.
Are you here to serve camp?
What did you think of the Met Gala?
Okay, here's what I texted our friend Amanda. She said, oh, I need your opinion on Met Gala looks. And I said, every fucking time this Met Gala rolls around, I have no, like, warning about it. I just get home from work. It's suddenly 6 o'clock. Twitter's going off. There's all these people posting comments and pictures. And I think, how am I just now hearing about this? And I don't possibly have the bandwidth now to tweet about it because half of the fashion's already walked the runway and now I'm tired because it's 6 o'clock on a weekday.
It is a lot to keep up with. I was like, if I at first was like, oh, I'll add some of my favorites to my Instagram story. And then I was like, well, I guess this is a commitment now and I have to like pay attention for the rest of the night.
So all I saw were the ones that the gays were talking about and that's what showed up on my Instagram and my Twitter. All the usual suspects.
Like?
I mean, I love how people always yell at me on Twitter after I say something extreme on the podcast, as in, I don't like Hamilton, and then they try to tell me I'm wrong, and I'm like, you're allowed to have people in your life who just have a difference of opinion. Like, someone doesn't always have to be right and wrong. Anyways, I didn't really understand Gaga's... What was the story she was telling?
I think...
I liked the first look. It was, you know, that episode of Drag Race where Suga did a reveal and then a reveal and a reveal and the judges said that it didn't get better and better. I kind of felt that way. I liked her first look and I liked the last look, but I thought, what story are you telling me here?
I thought it was good. I don't know if I thought it was like the best of the night for sure. Maybe not for me. I mean, I thought it was good and she like I had high hopes and high expectations and I was not disappointed, but yeah. I have to kind of agree like, okay, well, look under look and the final look is just like bra and underwear. I'm kind of left to want more.
I'm like,
despite the fact that like you just gave me the most. It's like maybe I didn't need the final look. You know, I don't know. Yeah. And I think I'll give her this. What made it a success was the delivery and the performance of it all. Everything else, it was like, yeah, the looks are good and fine and cute and a little over the top at times, which is what you want. But like, what really sold it for me was it was her moment. It was her runway.
Oh yeah, I liked that. I just like that little like pink dress. I think maybe it was the like second to last one. I don't know. Maybe it was this. I thought, well, who cares?
Yeah, my concern with the if somebody's look incorporates like props and things.
Yeah.
When the prop is the reason it becomes camp, then the look itself is then the outfit itself is not necessarily there.
I got excited about her last look because it just reminded me of like, and you correct me if I'm wrong with the era, but it just reminded me of like Born This Way, and it felt very like Marry the Night video, or maybe it's Edge of Glory video, and I thought, cool, fun. I want to hear a song of yours. But like, I don't know. I feel like camp was such a cool theme. And I feel like so many people like just didn't really do it.
It was
I feel like a lot of the boys didn't really participate. Like,
it was a hit or miss night, I will
say. I love
you can tell. But like, here's the thing. You don't have to get it. Bitch, that's why you fucking hire a stylist.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't get it, that's fine. People don't expect you to be a fashionista. But, like, every single person that walked the carpet had a stylist. And all those stylists were paid buco bucks to understand the fucking theme.
Not buco bucks. That's what my grandma
says. Buco bucks to get the theme. People that got it right. Darren Criss.
Yeah.
I loved his look. I loved Ezra Miller's.
Yes.
With the eyeballs. That was incredible. I thought it was like so, like he did the homework, he turned his assignment on time, and he got full grades.
What did Shawn Mendes do?
I'm not going to say nothing at all.
I thought, is this a L'Oreal hair color commercial where you fucking comb it through? His hair looked like it had some like gold tinge or hint or whatever. But I thought, did he comb through the product? I don't know what's happening.
If you don't come to the damn Met Gala on theme, then you shouldn't come at all. Period. Point blank. Uninvited. And I don't care who you are. Kanye West showing up looking like that. Shawn Mendes showing up looking like
don't
that.
Don't get me started on any of those Kardashians.
What's his name? Taron Egerton?
Yeah.
Showing up looking like that. Who's that dude that played Rami Malek? Showing up looking like that. No. I am able to say, I appreciate you. I like what you do sometimes. But bitch, don't come to the party if you can't dress in the theme.
That just goes across all of life. If I'm having a costume party at my house and it's a fucking Tuesday and you don't show up in costume, well, I mean, I probably wouldn't have a party on a Tuesday, but you know what I mean, bitch.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. It is fun. It is a fun like fashion night. I like when they do. I encourage the people who like took risks. Like, say what you want. If people hated Katy Perry, that's fine. Like, at least she did something.
Here's the thing. I loved Katy Perry's look, but the problem is Katy Perry does camp 24/7.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for Katy Perry to stand out with something like that because it's kind of like, well, she would wear that to the VMAs. So.
I completely agree. She would 1000%. And it did feel very on brand for her. I mean, even the like cheeseburger look that she changed into at the after party felt very like her dressed as a Cheeto.
Not a Cheeto.
But yeah, that was, I liked it. I just wish there was more representation from some of the men because I don't feel like a lot of people ever do step out of the box.
And here's, when the theme is camp at the Met Gala is excuse enough where you're allowed to get funky. You're allowed to look and be weird and different. Like nobody is going to judge you for trying. Yeah. People are going to judge you for not trying. And then when the theme is camp, it's like, girl, like, I found it to be annoying. That's all. How did you feel about the YouTubers that showed up? We had Liza Koshy.
You think I even knew any YouTuber who went?
Oh, go off. Liza showed up. I liked her dress. Lily showed up. She had, her dress was like, had lilies on it. And so that was part of like the campiness over the top of it all. And then James Charles was there in what looked like Coachella week two, day two, chains and things.
Well, that's what I said. I really didn't dive too super deep into these looks because... I was like, the ones I think I'm supposed to see will probably get pushed to the top of my feed. And I feel like they did.
Yeah. I mean, it takes some chutzpah to really kind of go for it. I appreciate that some people tried. I do wonder if they'll do better next year. That's all.
Fingers crossed.
Now, before we talk about anything else, we got to give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is Parachute. Summer is almost here, which means it's time for outdoorsy people to do outdoorsy things, like brunch or lounging at a rooftop pool, because those count, right? But just because we're spending more time outside does not mean we're not excited for refreshing our interiors with light, airy sheets, colorful striped rugs, beachy towels. Anything that you could possibly need to refresh your life, you can find at Parachute. I am currently obsessed with my Parachute linens. If you are looking for a new way to fall asleep, I am telling you what, they are so soft and luxurious, but affordable and just, I love mine. I think you will too. If you want, you can visit parachutehome.com/psycho and you're going to get free shipping and returns on Parachute's premium quality, very comfortable home essentials. Again, that is parachutehome.com/psycho. Thank you so much to Parachute for sponsoring this week's episode. We love you here at the podcast. I honestly don't know how I would fall asleep without you. Okay, now back to the gossip.
Should we talk about the latest episode of The Race?
Absolutely.
I mean, this will be the first.
Tell me,
this is the first time we're talking about it before we actually watch the episode. So I feel like I'm going to have to do the heavy lifting.
Well, no, the first episode we talked about it before the episode aired, and because if we had talked about it afterward, I would have talked about what they took out of it. Please and thank you.
Go off.
Anyway, so this episode, we are back in Vietnam.
We're staying in Vietnam. I think we were a little. I mean, at least myself, I was a little surprised. I don't know why, because looking back at it and being a fan of the show, it seems like they usually do a double leg around this time in the race. So I remember that morning, though, I definitely did not think we were staying in Vietnam, and I was surprised when we opened the clue and it said we were. I think it's because we were leaving so early in the morning, and I thought we're definitely going to an airport, and then sure enough, we just went to wait outside of a like snow park in Vietnam.
Yeah. And this is coming out of an episode where there was a non-elimination leg. And so we were really hoping for just like the start of the day to kind of spread out the teams a bit.
Yeah.
Especially because we were at least a little bit in the front of the pack starting this episode.
Yeah.
And when we showed up to the snow palace or whatever it is, we were at least expecting, okay, maybe it's going to open at a certain time, but maybe it's going to be pull tabs, which is something that they often do for challenges like this that start in the morning, where when you get there first, you get like 6 a.m., you get to go. And then the next team that gets there maybe is 6:15 gets to go.
Right.
So while it opens at 6 a.m., it's at least, you know, cutting up
at
the
least
teams
spreads
and
out the
spreading
teams
them
quite
out
a bit.
In some capacity. So yeah, when we got there and it was just like all teams at the same minute get to enter, I was a little bit annoyed. I'm like, can you not give any advantage ever to teams that are like ever doing well?
I mean, and it was just so interesting because the first time when we ran the race in season 28, both of our double legs in Colombia and in Indonesia, we did get a little bit of an advantage getting to rip the clue and find out we were staying in the same country. We had a head start on those teams that we had finished ahead of, so it was kind of disheartening. I mean, every time at this point on the show, they rarely let you spread out, so I think we should start to get used to it. But it is always a little disheartening when you find out you're staying in a country and you don't even get to utilize the head start that you had earned the day before.
So we get to the Ice Palace, we're reunited with every team, we're ready to go, and
we have to run inside and sled with a polar bear. I mean, it was like a whole 5 minutes, I think, we were in and out of that building. It was definitely cool, though. I mean, how often do you get to go sledding in Vietnam? I think that was like a kind of cute, unique task. But as far as like the actual amount of time that it took and the actual purpose it served, I don't think it was like really up there as super important.
I wished that it had more something to it. I wished,
yeah.
You know, it's easy to look at it and be like, well, if I were in charge of figuring out how the day is going to be framed, I always want something that's going to spread some teams out. So like if there's a challenge at the location, not just like run in, get the clue,
right.
Leave.
And this truly was a run in, get out, leave, except for Brett and Chris, who have to do their speed bump there. Everyone else is like in and out immediately, and then immediately searching for cabs, which was a nightmare.
Yeah, this is one of the first times where you are kind of in the middle of nowhere and don't really have any like indicators of where to get a cab, how to get a cab,
yeah.
Which direction you're supposed to be going. And this kind of like, this is really what spread out the group a little bit.
And maybe it was shame on us because we did get there earlier, and now thinking about it in hindsight, it's like maybe we should have told our cab, hey, can you come back in a couple hours, and kind of banked on that. I think that's what Rachel and Alyssa ended up doing, but I don't think any of the other teams did. But at the same time, when we got dropped off there, it looked like a very like busy area. It looked like an area that wouldn't necessarily be hard to find a cab in the morning, but it surely proved to be. I think we also got hung up. I know this was one of the times where we got kind of tripped up on the wording of a clue. I vividly remember this was the time where the clue said you should only take cabs from these companies, and you and I, along with a couple other teams, interpreted it as we could only take cabs from those companies, when that was not the case, and other teams kind of just took whatever cabs they wanted.
I remember that. We were heated when we found out
that that was not necessarily the case. But it is interesting. I think compared to Big Brother and Survivor, I feel like a lot of times when they get challenges, they probably have like a formal like rules that they go over. With The Amazing Race, when you rip a clue, it's just kind of you and your cameraman, and it's up to your interpretation of what that clue actually says.
They try to get really specific about the details and the like additional info of like what exactly you need to go do so you don't fuck it up. But sometimes there's moments in those clues where it's a little bit subjective, and so if a team is able to like find some wiggle room with it and take advantage of it, and other teams find out about it, it really is like a little bit of drama, because
yeah.
It's just like, it can be a matter of 5 minutes that change the
a
ranking.
Lot. A lot.
So, yeah, so we get it. We finally get a cab. What happens next, Cor?
I was going to say, yeah, you'll see us fighting probably our first real like bicker moment on the race. But it was, I think, like I said, I think we were more frustrated with the clue than with each other. Anyways, so we take the cab, we're off to the first roadblock, which turns out to be get your like moped license in Vietnam. And I think immediately once we found out that's where we were going, you and I had already discussed that this was going to be a roadblock that I was going to do, not only because you have had at this point done more than I had, but also just because this is something that was much more up my alley than yours. Balance and driving are neither of your two best qualities, and this roadblock needed both of those.
I actually think we were the only team that was not equaled out for
yes,
our roadblock.
At that point, so we were not. And yeah, it was, I mean, you'll see it on my face. Even the pictures they've shown me so far, I look pretty terrified on the bike. I was not loving it. I have no experience in riding mopeds or motorcycles. And I think watching this, this is one of those classic challenges on The Amazing Race where you're, the people at home I just know are going to be like, that is so easy. And I assure you it is not. I think all of the teams took multiple tries at learning to drive this bike through a very small track that had kind of like trip wires on the side. So if you ever touched one of the metal bars, it would kind of trigger the instructor that you had hit the bar, and then they would ding it against you. And if you got like three of those, I think you had to start over, which was pretty difficult. And we knew we were in last place when we got there. I remember opening the clue box and seeing there was only one clue left. And that's when we kind of looked at each other like, shit, we are in last place.
I had faith in you. I thought it was something that I thought you could do, especially because I feel like you're good under pressure, and it seemed like something your family and your brothers would have done. You know?
I remember saying, they were asking me like, how do you feel? And I remember saying, both of my brothers had a moped growing up that they shared, and they were like, did you drive it ever? And I was like, no, they wouldn't let me. But
well, that's better than my family. When I was growing up, my parents were like, I have a distinct memory. The coolest kid in school had me over, and he had like a four-wheeler. I had to stay in the kitchen while all the other boys were outside playing on the four-wheeler. So it's like, I wasn't even allowed to be in the presence of it, let alone, you know, ride it.
Yeah, and so it was definitely a stressful situation. We kind of like looked at each other then, and I think this is just how you and I always raced, is we're actually kind of comfortable racing from behind because we know when we get to the actual tasks, we can kind of buckle down and do it. Took forever to get to the bike ride, but once I was there, we were able to pass at least Corinne and Eliza and make up some ground on one team going into the detour, which again was then a very long cab ride. We drove all over Vietnam that day. I felt like we were in the car for hours on hours.
Yeah, just going, which is a little stressful because the longer you're in a car, the more you doubt the direction you're going, or if you're even getting it right. Or when you see no other teams, it's like, are we going 5 minutes out of the way? It's like, fuck, you don't know.
And I remember Ho Chi Minh City had like zones, is like how their neighborhoods are broken up. And I remember our cab driver telling us like, this is in zone 3 right now, we're in zone 5 or something like that. And I thought, well, shit, this is a long ass cab ride. So anyways, we get to the detour. I don't know if they'll show it in the episode, but as we're actually pulling in, Colin and Christy run up and tell us to do the boating detour because they think it'll be more tailored to what our skill sets are.
So once Colin and Christy tell us that the like boating, going on the river one, the boating one is the better option, we trust them immediately. I mean, like at this point, like Colin and Christy were pretty close with, and they're just not the type of people like the Afghanimals. Like the Afghanimals would lie to you, and if the Afghanimals told us one thing, we would know that
to do the other.
At least, yeah, they're at least trying to get us to do the wrong thing, or they're trying to get in our heads in some way of like I don't know, wanting us to think that this thing, blah, blah, blah. Colin and Christy, there's no games. You know what I mean? Like they would just tell us straight up.
They haven't really shown it just because there probably hasn't been a lot of opportunity on camera yet. But at this point, we had kind of been working with Colin and Christy for a couple legs, and we really did trust each other equally. So if they were ever going to give us a tip, we believed them. And we at that point were giving them tips too, whenever possible.
Right.
So yeah, the detour, we immediately said, okay, well, Colin said go fishing, so we're going to go fishing. And we pretty much grabbed our boats and our paddles and jumped in the river immediately. And I think right when we got in the water, we could see Janelle and Brittany were a little bit in front of us. Chris and Brett were a little bit in front of us. I think we saw Rachel and Alyssa still doing the, like, what I still, and we haven't even seen the episode, so I still don't even really understand what the other side of that detour was. It was something about building like a water wheel. And I remember we could kind of see them on the side of the river when we were doing it, but it was truly just a purely physical detour with the boats. And that was always going to be right up our alley. We were both comfortable on water and we just started paddling down the river as fast as we could.
So eventually we get our to the way of like all the baskets with what was inside?
You had to catch fish? Like they had a bunch of baskets at the end of the river, and I remember you had to find one that had like five fish in it, but the fish looked like these little like leeches,
minnows.
maybe that's
what
it
is. They
look
like little minnows. Yeah. So we find the thing, but at that point is that when you cut your hand?
I don't even know if they'll show it in the episode, but at that point I slip because the baskets are so uneven and there were like people splashing you when we were traversing the river, and I slipped balancing on the basket and I cut my finger pretty bad. Like I said, I don't even know if they're going to show it in the episode, but it was something that I kind of had to deal with for the...
There was blood everywhere. And I was a little bit spooked by it because like, if you have an injury, like that really can be a reason that you have to like step aside and be bandaged, and like that's a huge time chunk and that can like really kind of fuck you over. And I knew it, like obviously it wasn't your fault, but like
It's the
reality of the situation. Yeah. And it's like, you gotta step aside. You gotta get the medic, blah, blah, blah. So we get back. Do you remember the spider that was
In our basket?
The basket. I wonder if they'll show that. I was screaming. We were messes at that point. Blood everywhere, spiders crawling everywhere. Like
You had to like lift your boat over these bridges. I remember we passed Janelle and Brittany on the river. I think we were pretty close to catching Chris and Brett, if I remember correctly. But then they had to stop and bandage my finger.
Four episodes in, we got third place?
A third, a seventh, a fourth, and a fifth. Not bad.
A little different than our first time.
The first time we were on the race, our first five legs.
We got first and seconds.
Only.
And then this time it's been like a roller coaster.
But
we survived.
And the good news is we get to go to Dubai next. And Dubai was a place we had went the first time we were on the race. So I think we were a little excited when we saw we were going to Dubai. So
yeah, when I saw that, I felt a little bit more confident because, okay, at least it's a place we've gone. And I felt a bit of relief because anytime you're like having some trouble in a certain zone of the world, to leave that zone of the world and go somewhere fresh, it feels like it, like, okay, we're starting over in a new type of vibe.
Yeah.
I know we felt that when we were leaving like Georgia and Armenia, and we had some drama and trouble in our first time on the race. And once we left Georgia and Armenia, we kind of felt like we were shedding ourselves of like, okay, there's some negative energy with those couple legs. We're starting fresh. We're going to like do something else.
You're right. It does kind of feel like that. It's kind of like we're leaving the past behind. It's a brand new leg. We're all on... I think when we flew to Dubai, we all are on the same flights, but that was a leg where we purchased our own flights. We just all happened to buy the same flight. So anyways, I remember thinking this is a fresh start. All the teams are starting off on the same foot again, and I know we feel comfortable when racing, like all of us running out of the airport at the same time.
So that's all for today. That's the Amazing Race episode 4. We survived Asia.
Yeah.
Where else in the world will we survive? We'll see.
Yeah. And there's no episode next week because of the Survivor finale. So you got to wait until May 22nd to see us take on Dubai.
And if you, maybe that's like a chance for you guys to catch up if you haven't caught up on everything.
Smart, you can go watch.
Yeah. Or if you are all caught up on the season, feel free to go watch season 28 and see our first time on the race.
Well, isn't that a great idea?
Wow. Corey, where can people find you?
I am online at Corey Cool, KoreyKuhl.
And I am Tyler Oakley, TylerOakley. Thank you for following on Twitter and on Instagram. We'll give you behind the scenes stuff of every episode. Plus, you can send Corey your nudes on Instagram.
Oh my God, that would be so nice.
I'm here for you. I'm looking out for you. Okay, Corey, I'll see you later. I hope we like tonight's episode.
Yeah, me too. Same.
Okay. Bye, friends.
Bye.